Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today. Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag
is. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Gold Diggers podcast, women's football episode. I am here with two panelists. To my left, I have
Marva at Marva MSK.
And my right,
Tiwa at Tiwa underscore Lestrange.
And I'm Moyo at Moyo's Laboratory. And as always, make sure to follow Gold Diggers on socials at Gold Diggers UK on Twitter and Gold Diggers UK _ on Instagram.
Let's give a round of applause to Moyo for getting that right.
I felt the pressure. As soon as I started saying that, I felt Marvin look at me. thank you. Practice makes perfect and all that. We're just going to go straight into it. And I still have listeners' questions from last week that we didn't do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we'll do those as well. The first thing we have to discuss has to be Champions League. So the first legs are done. The first fixture was Chelsea-Barcelona at Stamford Bridge. The scoreline was 1-0 to Barcelona. We can get into that, roughly. In fact, let's not get into that, but let's talk about what's coming up. And the second fixture was Wolfsburg versus Arsenal. And it was 2-2 in Germany. So, going into the second legs, I want to know what everyone's thinking. And I want to know what you feel like, I don't know, teams may have to do different as compared to the first leg. And I'll start with Tiwa.
Well, going into the game in general, I just kind of was off the bandwagon of stink it out. Get a 0-0 draw and then roll up to the Emirates. We've got like a packed crowd and then try and like nick it there. Then I saw 2-0. I said, you decided to move mad.
So
it was just like, I mean, from all of the things we already had, issues going on with Arsenal, then 2-0 down when we needed to kind of be. And then we came back. That's when the players started to play a bit more fluidly. That's when Scott her goal again.
She would enter back.
She's getting into it at a rate because two of our best shooters gone, our captain gone.
We're gonna get into all that later.
So all this, the players that I'm like, the level of like love I have for like Pellegrini and everyone else is like growing so much higher every single time I see them play. So it was like, especially when you kind of deep the fact that Wolfsburg decided to play like hatchet men, because the unnecessary amount of like vicious tackling was just moving mad. There's that clip of McCabe just doing up Stonewall.
And
some people are like criticizing, saying, why'd you get involved? It's like, well,
it's Katie McCabe.
For one thing, it's McCabe, but also it's a totting up. They were moving mad against the bare times. Just in general, they were tackling a lot. And then she got sick of it. And it happens, plus add that, plus it's McCabe, it's going to happen. And I kind of need it. And like I said, mentioned about all the injuries and stuff happening, we need that extra kind of bite and fire, because if the amount of like world class level or technical levels that we keep dropping off, we need to kind of supplement it with something else.
Yeah.
And that one, the fight comes in, and that's where that came from.
But as well, like I said from the beginning, in terms of, I feel like I kind of trusted Arsenal more than I did Chelsea, just because I felt like Arsenal going into it with nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And I don't even mean just this round, but even just from the beginning of like knockouts, I just thought that no one's expecting Arsenal to go and win. The pressure isn't on Arsenal to go and win. The pressure's on Chelsea because they don't care about winning the league. They've done it multiple times. Yeah. They've got enough FA Cups in their locker. Like they don't need it. Whereas to be that next step on what they've been aiming for the whole time, and you saw it on their documentary. Like the thing they were saying is what we need next is Champions League.
Yeah.
So I do think the pressure's on them, whereas no one's expecting it from Arsenal, especially with their injuries. And I think that is what's going to pull them through, is just that mentality of like, let's just go for it. Let's just do it. Why not? And you saw that in the first leg, in the second half. Like, they just went for it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And something that you mentioned just now, Tiwa, about players sort of stepping up that weren't necessarily planning to step up. Marva, do you wanna go into that further about like certain players that have stepped up in this time?
For Arsenal?
For Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's individual players necessarily. There have been some standouts, but I think also just in terms of how they're pulling together as a team more so than anything. Like when you saw the, whether it's a Jem Beattie mistake or a Raffaele mistake for that second
half
goal.
Half and half.
Yeah. But I've seen Arsenal teams of the past kind of like even in that City game in the league where they did that and heads dropped and it just didn't feel like they were going to get anywhere. I think Ruben Moy deserves a shout out because I think when you lose Leah Williamson, not only do you lose a strong centre back, you lose a ball playing centre back who has the ability to change the game with her passes through the middle, her passes over the top. And Ruben Moy comes in, pulls out a blinder of a beautiful ball to Vlhova to then get the assist. So I think she deserves a shout out, but I do just think the way they all banded together after that and didn't just drop their heads after that mistake, all came together and are just going for it.
And Tiwa, do you think it sets you in good stead to know that Arsenal, the team, can pull together when, you know, things aren't necessarily going their way?
Yeah, because I think, like you're saying, all of the kind of the issues that have happened around it, it's literally showing, okay, cool, we haven't got the quote-unquote stars, but, okay, when you lose the individual stars, you've got to work as a team. And that's what they've basically decided to do. They've pulled and said, okay, we're not individually star players. Some of them really good, obviously, but they're more, it's just the entire package as opposed to the individuals. And they're leaning into that a lot. Even like, you've got Rafael playing that position and that stuff, and she's just great anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not like before when, like, let me knock on wood now. Say if we both lost Larry and Leah, it's long because we all know that Jen is a professional, she's everything, but we know her weaknesses. Her weaknesses are very, very like obvious. We have Rafaela next to her doing the extra kind of legs, the kind of just the vim you need there. She's got that, so it's all kind of working. And then, like I said, you've got to draw away and the way the tickets are going for the Emirates is going to be a booming atmosphere.
50,000 so far.
Energy's there. We can win that.
I think Marnham as well, actually, is someone who's really stepped up.
She's been really good. Really good.
Because she had a few games before where you were like, was it against West Ham? Where she had like 10 chances and you were just like, how have you not put them away? Whereas, last few games, been so instrumental in creating things, finishing chances.
In the important games as well. Against Bayern. Yeah, I know you're getting excited.
Because what?
And I think it would be wrong of me not to get your prediction as to who you think is going through in that Arsenal game. So in the Arsenal-Wolfsburg second leg, who do you think will be making it to the final?
I think Arsenal are going to go through it.
Okay.
The momentum and just, again, it being at home and we're actually in it, I think it should push us, like literally push us over the edge for that.
You think Emirates coming at Anfield or what?
No, I think the numbers and the energy. I think it's just there enough that it's like, okay, cool, Champions League. Also, the energy of that, like, it's not done with the league, but the energy is like, okay, let's kind of maybe looking at it, the likelihood is like, you can, obviously, Barcelona's a different situation, but you can push for the final. Finals, you never know. You never know what happens in the final.
That's
Anfield ain't that great anyway.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about Goodison. Marva, who do you think is going to be the team that will make it through to the final from that fixture?
From that fixture, I mean, yeah, I think with the crowds, surely Arsenal get something there. Mm-hmm. But I do just think, though, it's not... I think in the manner that... Yeah, it's almost that... I think if it had been 1-0 to Wolfsburg and we went away 1-0 to Wolfsburg, that I'd kind of almost see Arsenal going through more so. Mm. Because I feel like Wolfsburg got a wake-up call from going 2-0 up and then getting it being, you know, 2-2. So I do think it's not going to be a walk in the park just because there's a big crowd. Mm. I think Wolfsburg will show up and be like, no, we can't do what we did in the last fixture.
I will add, this is also where... the home advantage comes in, is like some of the calls that Wolves are getting away with. I don't think they're getting away with that.
Yeah, fair. Mm. But I also think they could have been about 3-4-0 up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, and they just kind of took the foot off the gas a bit. But
yeah,
I'm gonna say Arsenal. Why not? I'll say Arsenal. Can I just say, Moya's feeling really smug right now, because if we go back to her predictions before the quarterfinals, Moya said Arsenal versus Barcelona in the final.
The tapes will get run once the semi-final.
It could be Arsenal versus Chelsea, you don't know. It could be Wolfsburg versus Chelsea, who knows?
I'm not getting excited yet, but let me just say, obviously, as Marva said, if I am correct, I will be running those tapes for the next week, maybe until the final even. Yeah, I agree with you, lot. I think Arsenal will make it. But we have to talk about Chelsea as well. Most people actually predicted like a pummeling, really. And it wasn't a pummeling. It wasn't. The scoreline was 1-0 to Barcelona. The first question I'm going to ask you guys is, were you surprised that Lauren James didn't start, Marva?
Yes. Yes, very much so. It's an odd one. I don't know whether it was just a kind of more defensive decision. Mm-hmm. We've heard Emma Hayes sort of criticise Lauren James before for her tracking back.
Yeah.
And the manner in which Chelsea played was very much a, you know, don't concede type style. But still, it's a bit odd. I don't know if it's just a thing of like taking some of the pressure off her a little bit, or if I'm being too optimistic and actually maybe there's something a little bit like relationship souring slightly just after she got hooked at that City game. Yeah, I think maybe lack of trust and just a lack of trust in her to be able to put in a full complete performance or like professional performance in the manner that you need against a team like Barcelona. But I don't know, I just think you could still tweak the team so that she doesn't have to be the one tracking back.
Or not as much. But it's just what, if it was away, I could hear it more.
Yeah,
if it was away. But the first thing being at home, it could cost them. It could be like, it's like, it's just one of those ones where it's like, I feel like at home, Chelsea are like a whole kind of, they have certain things when they're at home. So like, you've just got a player. It's one of those ones you've just got a player.
Yeah, no, I agree with you both. Do you think, though, that because the scoreline is that they are 1-0 down, do you think Emma Hayes is going to be forced to start her at New Camp, or do you think she's going to do like adopt a similar tactic and bring her off the bench?
I would have said she would have been forced if it was more than one. Like, say, like, if it ended like 2, I'd say, I feel like she'd be like, okay, no, by force.
They were out of it until the last kick of the game against Lyon.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
So, like, I think if they were further down, then I was like, yeah, fair enough. But I think because it's only one, she could kind of feel like, it didn't go bad. Yeah. I could just do the same thing and then hope.
But I just think that the Barca are a pretty open team. Like, I know, with, you know, their fans behind them, they can pummel you. But there are big gaps in their team and in the way they play. And I just think that the smart thing would be to try and shock them first.
Yeah.
Like, throw them off their game. Quick start. And then if you get something, you know, if you get an equaliser, or if you ideally, obviously, go above them, then you shore it up, then you play defensive and you take Lauren James off, and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And you know that Chelsea have been playing a bit more defensively, even though their defensive record isn't too great this season. But
yeah,
they have just been a bit more all sit back and then lump the ball forward to Kerr. Mm-hmm. Do that towards the end. It's a very effective technique, especially if Barcelona are pushing up trying to get a goal.
And they often do play a very high line.
Yeah. So I just think that with that in mind, having Lauren James, who can play those balls over the top as well, that we saw in the game against United, and Sam Kerr running onto it. I think that's a great tactic to utilise. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I see it both ways, and who am I to criticise Emma Hayes?
Two people, really, that I do want to pop up, you know, give some propaganda to for this podcast, is a partnership that we actually spoke about a lot on last week's pod, which was the defensive partnership that came in, I think, beforehand when everyone knew that it wasn't, there was going to be no Millie Brett and no Khadisha Buchanan. I think, naturally, everyone was thinking, how are Magdalena Eriksson and Maren Mjelder going to cope at centre-back against a team that we know constantly has moving parts in the way that Barcelona do? But I thought they were great, to be honest. I thought they were really good in the first leg. I think, especially Mjelder, I thought Mjelder was fantastic, to be honest. And one thing we saw from her is just that experience and what experience means in big ties. But yeah, if they can pull off a similar performance at the new camp, obviously that's a harder task. We all know it's a harder task. But yeah, if they could pull off a similar performance, I think Chelsea give themselves the best chance. I'm not saying that they... they give themselves the best chance. They can pull off similar.
I'm still saying Barca.
Don't worry. I was just going to say, so who do you still think will
I'm still saying Barca going through, but Chelsea, not school-wise, but effectively, they're still in it. So it's not a thing of it's Barca's going to absolutely slap them silly. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. I do think the tie shifts to them again, because again, home advantage does help a lot, especially with Barca. So it's just one of those things. But went to prove like we said before, the Champions League is what they're missing. Mm. And the energy and the way they've been going this season feels like they are leaning more towards the Champions League. I don't think it's done. I don't think it's going to be an absolute drubbing like what happened in the final last time.
To be fair, it is something to bring up in terms of Chelsea, the fact that they haven't, if you look at the progress from that game against Barcelona in the final to this, I know a final is very different, but while they haven't had the best of seasons this year, I think it does show how the quality is just levelling out across the board of the top European teams. Yeah. Maybe that means that Barcelona have got worse, but this has been the most competitive Champions League that I think I've ever seen, to be honest, in the women's game. And it's really exciting. And I feel like next year is just going to be even more so, because all these teams are just getting better and better.
Yeah. You made a good point, actually, Marva, within that, when you said maybe Barcelona just got worse. and genuinely, because I think we discussed it. I think it was the three of us as well. I think it was a month ago, maybe two. And we were talking about Kira Walsh and Lucy Bronze and what they brought to the Barcelona side in that by way of athleticism.
Yeah.
But whether or not in getting the athleticism in, I'm not saying specifically from those two. The balance of the team.
But then we also, their best player and possibly the best player in the world has been injured. Yeah, like talking about, men's Barcelona in their prime without Messi. It's different. And you also kind of have to change the way you play slightly.
That's also
when you've got someone that good who's been carrying your team, not even carrying your team, but obviously just been such a big part of your team, and someone that everyone plays around, when you lose someone like that, you do have to switch it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And listen, Kira Walsh isn't far off from a Barcelona style player.
But yeah, no, I completely agree in that sense. That if we look back, as you were saying, to the team that got smacked in the final, obviously Alexia would have been there. They had Lika Martins on the left. Do you know what I mean? This is a different team. A very, very different team.
Yeah, and I do just think that it's also just a case of how the game is growing. The way it's just becoming more equal in terms of... I remember reading stuff about how Barcelona were just way ahead in terms of the facilities they were able to use. Mm-hmm. They were able to use a lot of the men's facilities and coaches and that side of things, and it was more together as a club. Once they had done that, Barcelona had just flown as a club, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of thing is leveling out across the board, especially the elite teams, not so much the rest of the teams in each league. But
yeah,
I think that's why we're seeing such a good Champions League, is that so many of these teams, regardless of whether they're getting better or worse, but the actual standard is getting a lot higher, like in terms of professionalism, in terms of strength, conditioning, fitness. And that's why I just think, yeah, it's been a, I was going to say a Champions League that no one could predict, but one has kind of predicted it. But other than her, the rest of us have struggled to predict it, because it's been one of the first Champions Leagues where you just think, like, if you were to tell me last year that Chelsea beat knocking Lyon out, would have happened, then I would have gone, oh, so Chelsea are just definitely going to win the league. They've just taken it to the next level. Sorry, Champions League, they've just taken it to the next level, it's going to be easy. Whereas, like, no, that was a game you could not predict.
A game of madness.
And a Chelsea team who weren't particularly playing that well. So I think it just shows you the competitive levels across the board, which is really exciting.
Completely agree. So Barcelona and...
Barcelona.
Okay.
So. But Chelsea are tricky, man. Chelsea, Chelsea just have something in them.
Yeah, it's not like a Barcelona like with full chest.
Yeah. It's like Barcelona, like, I'm Barcelona with chest. I think Chelsea's gonna get.
We'll see the first 10 minutes of that game, and then we'll see.
To be honest, I feel like it's gonna be similar to the Roma Barcelona tie, in which the first leg was 1-0 and the second leg was 0-0. Like, oh, you lot thought you had a chance. I'm gonna show you. But we'll see what happens with that. By the next time we record, we'll know who's in the final. We'll know if some people's predictions are right. We'll know if some people's wrong,
right? mine from the last time were already way wrong, so
moving into part two of the episode, we're going to talk about some key things that have been happening within women's football. I'm going to touch on comments that Daniel Levy made the other day. Our resident Tottenham fan actually isn't here today, lucky for her, because she doesn't really want to be answering for him anyway.
Maybe subconsciously, this is why we all wore black.
Honestly.
Come to see witness the death of Spurs football.
Yeah, honestly. I'll essentially read out the gist of what he said. Daniel Levy, Tottenham chairman, essentially said he thinks the WSL should get rid of relegations and promotions, and he thinks that they should adopt a single table format so clubs feel more comfortable investing in their women's team. Thoughts on what he said?
Daniel Levy,
this one's for you.
You're already ruining your men's football club. Now you want to come ruin your women's football club as well. Like, the thing is, what gets me is that right now their issues are not about spending money. They've spent some money.
Mm. That's why he's vexed.
But you don't have a manager. Yeah. You sacked your manager. They're in a relegation battle. It's been, 2 months?
Yeah.
I know there's international breaks and stuff in between. You haven't replaced a manager. That doesn't require much money.
Both sides.
Oh, yeah, the men's team as well. And you can see in terms of, Lauren brings it up all the time, it's like currently they don't have a director of football. They don't have a men's manager. They don't have a women's manager. They don't have an interim manager anymore. They sat their interim manager. So clearly all roads are pointing to you, Daniel Levy. Because it's not just about the money, it's about the way you're running your club. There are plenty of other teams who have spent less money doing much better. Mm. You don't have you're fighting in a relegation battle and you haven't replaced your manager.
Yeah,
right.
What do you expect?
It's very obvious. The timing of it if it wasn't obvious before, it's so grossly obvious. Because your team are in the relegation battle and you're upset about it because you spent a bunch of money on it. On the team, and they're not performing as to what is, like, but you're helping. You haven't, like we just said, you haven't, the staff is not there to help them.
Also, I'm like, who asked you to spend that much money on Beth England?
No, because who told you?
Because I don't know if, I think Chelsea would have taken a lot less for that, I'm going to be honest. I don't know, obviously we weren't in negotiations. But
we didn't see the papers.
He was trying to do power move, saying, okay, we're not completely on a way, we can do this, we can do it. But it's like, your team already wasn't
other steps.
It didn't just need one big star, and you needed to actively work on the team, and you decided to splurge on one big piece that
it's probably a PR thing as well.
Yeah,
like,
she can only do so much.
Yeah,
England player.
Exactly. Like, it was a record signing, so then you're going to get all the nice press about it.
So, all for what then?
It's all right, give her time, man. She's still scoring. Hopefully, yeah, she makes it.
I just think so. It's just that it's just quite patronizing to be like, oh, let's close it all off, and then that way I can get money on my, like, return on my investment. And it's like, that's not how football works.
I'm having a job, mate.
I also think he doesn't really understand what he's saying. Like,
yeah,
him saying that if we close off the league, so by that he means like,
No relegation.
No promotion. The 12 teams that are currently in the league will just remain the 12, like how it is in basketball, basically.
Yeah.
But the bit I'm not understanding is he's saying that will encourage people to invest. But why would it?
Exactly.
So, like, why would, if anything, shouldn't fear of relegation make you invest?
Well, but he's only saying it from his perspective, though, because it's also a case of, like, I get the thing from his point of view, he's basically saying that, you'll invest this money, then obviously, like, if they do get relegated, it's a big loss for him because they will lose money from that next season. But in terms of the wider game, I think you'll get more long-term investment in terms of sponsors, in terms of viewership, in terms of engagement.
Yeah.
If there's something to play for.
There has to be jeopardy. There has to be jeopardy.
And especially in our country. Like, it's one thing in the USA when they're used to that system and playoffs and, like, all of that.
There's a benefit to it.
But exactly, because it falls into a system of a scouting system. Yeah. We don't have that. And if you want to get, like, you know, like, men's supporters over to the women's game as well, they have to, like, have that familiarity.
Yeah.
And know that, like, even the fact that, like, there'll be Arsenal fans looking at this and being like, lol, Spurs are getting relegated. Jokes, I'm going to watch.
Like, one league where it's like, even the freaking, the academy ones have relegation.
The kids have relegation.
You can't just be doing one. And that's what you said earlier. It sounds slightly patronizing. It's like, so why is it just the women's one you're saying end relegation? You don't be afraid for your own mentees as well.
I'm so, like, I'd be bored. I'm already bored from between fifth place and tenth place, basically. It's not this season, usually. But and what, we're going to just close off? Then what? What is anyone fighting for?
He doesn't really care about how I know that it's like, as he was saying, a deflection tactic, because he doesn't understand. It seems like he doesn't even understand what's going on in the league.
Yeah.
Like, what bit is he talking about?
Because this has been one of the most exciting leagues I think I've ever seen in the WSL. I've never seen a relegation battle this extensive.
Yeah, but why is it? Why hasn't he brought this idea to the men's game?
I'll take it in the men's game right now.
because if he thinks that will encourage investment, if that's his actual argument, then why wouldn't he then want to encourage invest? Like, if he actually thinks it's going to encourage investment, then why wouldn't it be a universal thing?
Yeah, fight for it on all fronts, or don't do it at all. What's the point?
That's what's made. And also, invest in your women's team because they're part of your club. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? 100%. It shouldn't be investing in a women's team so that, or XYZ, or because of this. Invest in a women's team because you are the chairman of Tottenham. Do you know what I mean?
You care about it as a holistic club, like, altogether.
And Tottenham Hotspur Women is part of Tottenham Hotspur.
Literally.
Also, I'm sorry, but on the scale of investment, Beth England was record signing. 200. Hey, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
250k?
Chicken change.
That's men's players' wages for like a week.
Two weeks,
maybe.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that big of a deal in the scheme of things if you're looking at it as a full club rather than just a women's game. But it is right now and I know people say, oh, yeah, but what's happened?
3-1. FA, you've got.
I love the 2-1. In terms of, I know people say, well, yeah, but the women's team aren't making as much money, et cetera, et cetera. But you have to look at it as investment over a long period.
Completely agree.
And I know that means that for him, that if they do get relegated, he loses that. But still, you need to look beyond that.
He's not
the women's game as a whole.
And I feel like...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Just to jump on that as well, I feel like he almost... I don't know if he understands that women's football is not this thing that's going to go away.
Yeah, I feel
like he's thinking, how long do we have to ride it? Like, how long do we have to ride this women's football thing out for? Like, Euros was done. Like, do we still have to...
But also the other thing is a closed league, what that does for the rest of the football tier is terrible.
Completely agree.
Which means that if you were to do that later down the line and then have relegation... Mm-hmm. It would be an even worse jump, whereas at the moment the Championship's on the rise anyway.
Yeah.
So even if you were to get relegated, it wouldn't be like complete end of the world. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got some good teams in there, like creating some good crowds and interest at the moment. It's really growing anyway. Yeah. So
talking as if investment hasn't been happening with the relegation promotion. Literally the investment has been.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to.
No, and that's what he's doing. Respectfully, I know he's not going to. But save your chest, because you can't use the argument of more investment happened. Investment has been happening.
And also look at teams like Brighton or Leicester, who over in the January transfer window just made some smart signings, and it's really improved their chances with relegation.
Brighton, they didn't brought in a manager,
they didn't looks have changed a their great manager as well. They didn't have to spend 250k on a player. They didn't have to make record signings. They were just smart. A bit smart.
Yeah, it was. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think a lot of what Tottenham have been doing. Lazy, like they've looked, got in a lot of good players, and I feel like they'd have stuck with that model, maybe. But then, alongside sticking with that model, they had to go and get the best coaches, And I feel like they're trying to do some bits.
I mean, just a coach would be a start,
just a coach. So I think bottom line on that one is then
leave
your
seat help. Come on, bro.
Another thing that has been happening within women's football, I feel like we have to discuss, is the injury crisis this season. And I mean, Tua, you mentioned it before. Even if we just look at Arsenal as an example,
best three ACLs.
Yeah,
one season.
Thoughts on that?
I mean, the whole kind of the frequency of women getting ACLs are maddening, which needs to be properly instead of just like seeing like, oh, it's happened again. No, it's a madness that it keeps happening, and then. Then you have to even look into the club, ask yourself, how have you got three women out with ACLs in the same season? That doesn't make any sense. It's obviously it's horrible for the women themselves, but then it's like within your team, you've now, because whatever you're doing isn't working, you've derailed your entire season. Mm-hmm. It's more or less just because there are certain games you could say this season, if you had Beth or Miedema, or Little, who was injured before, had got injured again. Obviously, Lee has been injured early as well and come back now, which is out again. These games, certain games, maybe don't lose, you don't drop all these kind of little things. Mm-hmm. And it's just something to look at, because it's mad. It's actually, it's like, it's one thing if it's like hamstrings, these little niggling injuries happen, but the ACL, three of them, it's just, I don't understand it at all.
Marvel?
Yeah, I mean, like, if a men's football club had three ACLs at the same time, like, fans would be saying, what's going on with the physios and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but what are the training conditions like?
I think what's worrying about it is I don't think it's a quick fix. Mm. While there is a lot of investment and research that can go into it, but if you look at the wider scale of things, let's get a bit political here, guys, but if you look at the wider scale of things, women's science, sports science, women's health, women's medicine is so far behind what most people realise.
Yep.
only recently have they discovered essentially that your levels of hormones can affect how likely you are to get injured.
Yeah.
Now, if we take that, the other thing that a lot of people don't know is, especially so in the USA, when they were where a lot of testing on common medicine, mm-hmm. such as paracetamol, et cetera, has happened. It wasn't until the 1990s that women were used in these studies and these trials, okay, of a lot of common medicine. Because, and the reasons for it was they were saying, oh, but their hormones fluctuate so much during the menstrual cycle mm-hmm. that we can't get a full, like, understanding of it.
Sure.
But do you not need to know how that medicine affects our hormone cycle? Yeah, yeah. So, and it was really interesting watching the Chelsea documentary, actually, because like Beth England has endometriosis and a lot of other players have come out now as well saying they've got a similar thing. And if you look at the lack of research on endometriosis in life, for anyone, I've got lots of friends, I've had my own things with ovaries, like our experience of this stuff in everyday life is so bad and treated so poorly and the research on it is so low. And now you want to know how that affects us in sports science. We don't even know how it affects us in normal life. Let alone the intricacies of that when it comes to sports science and elite level football playing. So there are, and I bet there will just be so many other things they discover, but they need to look at it. They need to, the research needs to go into it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen until... I mean, that happens just generally in, you know, women's health. But hopefully, maybe it goes the other way. And actually, because they need to look at it for elite football and there's some investment in there and some eyes on it, that it will help the everyday woman as well. But, it's just crazy. Like, the fact that there's been no boots designed for women. And now they're being like, oh, actually, I think that contributes to injury. Yeah,
I think that might be part of it.
Like, we're so far behind.
Too many things, not just in medical or just like things, are done via the male gaze. Everything is done via men, and then you say, okay, just put it on. It's fine. That's not how it works. You need to actually do it for women, because
like, feels like an adult right now.
Yeah, exactly. If you could point out that hormones affect certain things, do you not think it? Other things that are within inherently women that could affect other things, and you're just kind of going through it saying, oh yeah, boots are boots, men can wear the women get all these little things, like they affect things. Even down the mere fact I use something that's superficial. If you have the idea to have women kits specifically made for women, then would it not make also sense to do the same thing with everything else? Because you're not making the women play in the men kits. They're very clearly cut for women.
Yeah.
So how come that doesn't make sense to go thinking, okay, boots, get everything else? Maybe we should specifically focus on women.
Job right now, to be honest.
The amount of shin pads I've worn that are double the size of my shins because I can't find them to fit my small shins. Honestly.
Sorry, shout out Marvin.
Wearing junior shin pads.
But no, I completely agree with you, to be honest. And I feel like that's a nice segue into a question we had last week. Which was what England's options are going to be going into the summer with the amount of injuries that are racking up right now. From what Emma Hayes has said, Millie Bright should be fine by then.
Is she going to play the season?
I think so. Yeah, from Emma's been kind of coy, I won't lie.
She can say she'll be fine,
but whether she's going to be like, and also whether she's going to be like match fit.
And that's what I'm saying. She could be like no longer fit by then. But have you played? Are you going to end up actually playing her in the season?
I think she is. I think she's going to play in the FA Cup final. I think from what Emma Hayes said, she was like, the next couple of weeks is too soon. But after that, that's how she said it. So I'm thinking that by like mid May.
So options, are we saying Steph Horton last dance?
I'm not gonna lie. Listen, I was just about to ask that. Like, I joke about it, even though it's not funny. I'm not joking about Steph, but like, I genuinely think that if it had been an injury to anyone else, so like, if it had been an injury to a young player, Serena would have not even considered Steph.
Yeah.
But I think the fact it's an injury to a senior player, by way of Leah Williamson,
and the captain.
Yeah, but I think the captain bit is the bit that's making a bit higgy. Like, that's the bit that's making a bit.
I honestly think if Stefan hadn't been captain before, she would have brought her back before. Because I do think it, there must be a hierarchy thing. There must be a like, it must be a bit awkward.
Someone said when they do the huddle, yeah, imagine Steph just starts talking. Leah's just like,
no, literally. Like,
Leah side eyes.
Imagine they both go to speak at the same time. It's just like, I just think, yeah, hierarchy, and also just like, you don't want to feel like you're stepping on toes.
Yeah.
What I think is funny, I was mentioning this to someone the other day, was that the exact same situation in terms of like Steph getting weaned out of the side was what happened when Steph became captain.
Yeah.
So like, Casey Stoney was England's captain, and Phil just kind of like, not Phil, sorry, Mark Sampson, just kind of like weaned her out, like, and he was very much decided on, which I get. When you come into a job that you think you're going to have long term, you almost want to get someone as captain that's kind of young that you expect to be the captain for your tenure. And I feel like the issue with Steph is that Serena's probably thinking, I'm probably going to have you for one Euros and one World Cup, and I don't know if that works for me long term. I don't want to have to pick again. But yeah, you were mentioning Steph. What are your thoughts on that?
I do think she should be called up. Even just on performances, I think she's been doing pretty well recently. Whether she should start, I don't necessarily agree. And also, I don't think she should have any kind of captaining role. But I do think it's important
to. You can do the whole thing of like, leader without an armband.
I agree.
Like someone like how Jill Scott was.
Yeah. And I do think it's important, like, at a World Cup, when. Because you can't underestimate what, like, an injury like Leah's is going to do to team morale and, like, pulling together and getting through it as well. Like, I do think it will help to have a leader, and especially depending on, you know, if Millie Bright is fit, there's a good chance we're starting, you know, like, Esme Morgan or, like...
Or May Letizia.
Or Wuba Moy, or, like...
Moy in big trouble.
Even, like, Jess Carter, like, playing left-back. There's a lot of options there that aren't going to be experienced players. Mm-hmm. And I think just having someone in the camp who is experienced can really help.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And it's funny that we're looking at, like, obviously we all would say that Leah's experienced, but she ain't experienced at the World Cup.
No,
actually.
But
and
she has led her team.
But the fact that
no one has ever done before.
The fact that we're saying she's not experienced at World Cup level, and then the fact that it could become such that we may have to play like a Jess Carter or May Letizia or Esme Morgan is actually mind-boggling. And hopefully Lucy Bronze's injury isn't serious.
Who would you start? Because I think I would... If Millie Bright's fit, I would...
If Millie Bright is fit...
I would go Bright, probably Greenwood.
I'd go Bright and Greenwood.
I need to actually know if she's... Because I feel like managers lie. I feel like you say she's fine, but then she can look like...
I think she... I'll be real, though. I still feel like, even if she doesn't play for the rest of the season, Serena will take her.
One thing
with Serena...
No, take her, yeah. But I don't know,
she'll probably just give... You know like how going into the Euros, I can't remember who it was that didn't play the first game and then afterwards... Or they didn't play the warm-up game.
And I was going to say, because they played the same
game. And then the first game came and she'll start. I feel like Millie Bright, as long as she's... Like in training, Serena kind of knows what she's about, and I feel like that's Serena's whole thing, basically.
Was it Mead?
It was Kirby as well.
But
that's another one.
I feel like she got brought on one of the.
Leah
was playing
midfield, and then Greenwood got COVID or something.
Greenwood was playing centre back, wasn't she?
Yeah, and then I think the one just before the warm up, she got COVID, and then Leah went in, and then she never saw.
There's a reason. I think numbers are numbers, but there's a reason that she had that. This is the number she had, as opposed to like the centre back number.
We even just mentioned someone there as well, Frank Kirby, who I don't know how likely it is that he, like. I feel bad for Fran, to be honest, because I feel like she's had a lot of like injury and health problems, not even just this year,
the years
before
that
as well. And I feel like it's almost not allowed her career for England to be what it could have been. I feel like every time we go into a tournament, the talk is always, well, if Fran Kirby is But we never really know for sure what we're like, who we're getting, if she's going to be fit, if she's going to be ready. And this past, I'd probably say like 6 months, she hasn't, you know what I mean? It's been Ella Toon, it's been Ella Toon, it's been Ella Toon. Yeah. And it's funny because I still prefer Ella, like for England, I still prefer Ella Toon coming off the bench.
The bench, yeah. By the way, yeah, it was Meade and Stanway didn't play in that game against the Netherlands.
Yes, yes.
And then they played every single game.
I feel like it's one of those familiarity. I know what you're about. Like, I don't need to see you. I didn't need to see you last week to know that you what you'll bring this week. So yeah, so I'd agree with Marva and I'd go with. So if Bright is fit, I'd go Bright and Greenwood. What about you?
Probably the same. I think my whole thing was literally just the Bright.
Okay, if Bright isn't fit, who's your option? Who's your centre back?
Do you know what it is though? Because my head of thinking is like, I don't trust going into a major tournament with a centre back pairing that doesn't feel like someone knows what they're doing, if that makes sense. So if Steph got, if like this is where I'm going, if Steph did get called up, I'd put her in.
I like Steph as a centre back. Like, I genuinely do. I think she's a good centre back. My only issue with if Bright isn't fit, bringing in Steph is that the profile swap does not make sense to me. So, like, in my head, Steph is more Leah mold.
Yeah.
And Leah is more Alex. Leah, Alex, Steph are in my head same profile mold.
Yeah.
When I think of the, and Esme Morgan, if you think of her as a centre back, it goes in that side as well. The
other there aren't
side,
many mini
there
brights.
There aren't many mini brights. I feel like the only person that is more similar to her side is probably May Letizia and Jess Carter.
Yeah.
The issue then becomes what foot these people. Jess Carter won't work on that side, which is them. Which then becomes my issue. So let's just start crossing our fingers now that because Millie's all right.
But if we were to play Bright and Greenwood, who would you play left back? Carter.
That's my Rach Daly.
You say Joe.
Rach Daly. You want to run it back? Rachel Daly might have to run that one. But,
Maybe play
5 at the back and then put Carter on CB.
I'll be real. Call up Rach Daly, run it back, and call up Beth England. Sorry. I'm really sorry. Listen, you firmed it for like 8 years. You confirm it for another one.
Right. It's fine. You're getting your praise in
WSL.
Yeah, everyone knows what you're on. England. Like, who would your fullback be?
It's a hard one because I think it depends who we're playing. If we're going more defensive, I think Carter can do the job. Speedy, it's just the attacking output in terms of crossing. I don't know if she can deliver, but I don't know if we really have a. I mean, I would put Greenwood there, but then if you're playing
it's funny because I would have put Greenwood there, but if Bright is injured, she's our best centre back.
Yeah.
Big problems.
It's going to be a tricky one, and also I think this is where the whole like playing basically the same team over and over again and not experimenting too much is a problem because
completely agree.
Now we don't know. It's like and. Only Carter really has been given a go. Yeah. We haven't really seen other people at left back over the last few.
Like, who is she always?
And even though we're saying May Letizia, she never gets played by Serena as a centre back. No. She keeps getting played as a fullback, and I hate it. I'll be real. I absolutely do not like her at fullback.
But I do. I think that's why Carter's been played at left back and not centre back. She just doesn't trust her to do a full job. But
I don't get why Esme Morgan is being played at centre back because I think she's a better fullback than a centre back. Let me just chat to Serena quickly because I don't get it personally. I feel like May Letizia can't really cross. She's a really good passer of the ball, but she can't really cross.
The thing is, though, Serena's record at
because
as much as like she did what she did with the Netherlands in the Euros, she took the Netherlands to the World Cup final.
Yeah, the year after they won the Euros.
With that squad who wasn't like incredible.
Some people, it's like. Their methods and their choices look a bit mad, but you can't really question it because it works.
But with that Netherlands team, she also had the same thing she was expecting to have with this England side, which was the consistency of having played the same team in the Euros and then going to the World Cup with that same team. The problem I think she's going to have now is that what Marvel was saying, we haven't really done it.
Yeah.
And secondly, time-wise, we haven't got that much time. We really don't. Like, there's not that many. I know they've got a couple games that they're going to do beforehand, but I don't know if that's the time that you want to use. To
it's just like, it gets me. I think it's the reason I felt, seeing Lea's Williamson's injury, mm-hmm. was honestly the saddest I felt about an injury in a very long time. I can't even remember ever really feeling like
that.
Sad. Because I just feel like, not only for her, of course, and we could talk for hours about what she's done for this team and for Arsenal as well, but just the fact that if England were going into this World Cup, yeah, with the squad that they had, plus Lauren James, I would look at us as favourites. And now I'd put France above us as favourites. I'd definitely put USA above us as favourites. Even Germany, I'd put above us as favourites. Like, there are a lot of teams I'd put above us now because I just don't, I don't even trust, like, the vibes. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's like from the start of, let's go just by the football season, the start of, like, the chipping away of these players, like, down. Yeah. It's like...
And I think it's not also helped that, like, something we could do in the Euros was we were swapping the experience out for, like, and the young... The issue is now, though, that a lot of those experienced heads are not in the team anymore. Which means those inexperienced heads in terms of World Cup, in terms of World Cup experience, are going to have to start. And then the people we'll be bringing in are even more inexperienced than them. So, like, if we're looking at, like, a Jess Park, for example, who has no tournament experience, tournament experience. Someone else has been called up a lot. Katie Robinson, no tournament experience. Lauren James, no tournament experience. Yeah. But with her, at least, you can say that she's been in high-pressure situations at club level. But yeah, I don't know how much impact is on the bench this year.
I agree.
I don't know how much impact is on
the
bench.
It's not enough for me to, like, feel comfy like that.
Yeah.
It's almost like, do you start Katie Robinson just so you can bring on, like, Kelly off the bench?
It's like the go-to and be like, we've got Russo, but it's fine, bring her on. That's
funny because Russo also is someone that I don't think England right now is playing to her strengths. I don't know if England is getting the best out of her. We've seen that she can score goals for England. So I don't think that's the issue, but more so in terms of her game in general. I feel like at England level, there's so many people that drop into the pocket. And I feel like she's best when she drops, feeds the wingers, and then goes back. But the problem is, she's dropping... A Latoon is also in that same pocket. Lauren James, who's on the wing, is also coming into the same pocket. Georgia Stanway, who's playing in the pivot, has gone into the pocket. Like, do you know what I mean? There's so many people.
And then Walsh is marked by about 20 players.
So none of them are getting the ball, but they're all just standing in the pocket. It's tough. It's tough. And I feel like that's something that over the next couple of years, they've got to figure out. I feel like they've got team synergy in a real world sense. Yeah. I feel like on the pitch sometimes, this is not specifically about Russo, by the way. I mean, in general, on the pitch sometimes, it looks kind of like individual at times.
Yeah.
Especially when one of them's already on a goal or already on a brace. Like, they just start shooting from anywhere. Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas a lot of the older players, I will say, were probably a bit more selfless. Like, Fran Kirby's normally a pass before she shoots type of player. Ellen White, Beth Mead. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I think it's tough and I think it's going to be interesting to see what England do. But I think we've pretty much all gone for similar.
Yeah.
Except the only one we don't really know is the left back. Left back, right back.
Yeah. Right back.
Left back. Unless hopefully she did go off injured.
She did go, I know, I was stressing when I saw
that. She put weight on it at first, but the coach said that she's fine. That's what they all say, I won't lie. But
you never know, you put James there.
Okay, we are going to end it on this last thing I'm going to ask. It's going to be like one sentence or one person, either like a thing or a person. And it's going to be your surprise of the season. So yeah, that could be a team, a moment, or an individual. I'm going to give you like 20 seconds to think because I feel like I asked and you guys
won't.
You got one? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll start with two of them.
My surprise of the season is that Skinner decided to go bang Judge. So I know what he did it. He did it on purpose. That's why I'm dropping that. I'm blaming him solely.
So you're talking about Mark Skinner right away.
Man United manager.
I know what he did.
There's been a curse on Arsenal women. Their plane set on fire.
Can you see? All these things are happening. I know it's him.
That was nothing to do with us.
I know it's him.
Trust me, if anything, Skinner wants you lot to be on job. When you face Chelsea. No, trust me, he does. He wants you to be on job for the Chelsea game. He's not trying to corrupt you lot.
By general, Skinner, that one, but generally, I think Man United being as good as that. I didn't think they'd be rubbish. Don't get me wrong. I think I put them in my top three.
That surprised you as well. Don't even lie. You thought you were going to miss out.
We still could miss out, by the way. We still could miss out.
But yeah, I think I put them in my top three because I thought they'd be third.
Yeah.
They're in a title. There's literally, they could win it. I'm doing your best because you can. Don't do this whole fake humble.
From an Arsenal fan.
This is some nonsense, man.
But it's factual. It's there. I feel like it's. I'm just saying. So that generally, them basically being in the title charge is my surprise.
So United in general being as good.
United
as
a system, the club, and that evil manager.
Yeah. Mother.
I've got a few, but I think one would be that Arsenal second leg performance against Bayern. Being there as well and being like. That first half, I was like, this is the best I've seen any team play, like, ever. I was just like, what is going on? And this is like an injured, wounded team just coming out and just doing that against Bayern. That was a huge surprise to me. That could have been 4-0, 5-0 in that first half.
No, completely agree. You guys chose good options. My surprise of the season...
Relegation battle.
To be honest, one of them. Honourable mention for Spurs is crap. To be honest,
Everton not being in a relegation battle. That was a nice one. That was a good surprise for me.
Another honourable mention. So you got an honourable mention?
Maybe the comfortableness of Villa. To be honest, I didn't think they'd be as comfortable as it's like it's them.
Yeah. My surprise of this season, I'm going to make it United related. I want to. Has been United's defensive record. I've been shocked, to be honest. We conceded the least goals in the league. Merry ups, leading the way for clean sheets. And I think as well, what I've been surprised about is just the individual improvement, especially when last season we... Our defence was in tatters. Like, the West Ham game last season, Katie Zeller was at centre-back. That's how depleted our defensive line was. And touch wood, we've just been really, really lucky with the injuries this season. That might be down to the judge there. We've been really lucky defensively with injuries. And a special shout-out to May Letizia, who I think has taken to what United are trying to do and build, and being near the top of the table, I feel like that's a new experience for her completely. And I feel like she's handled it really well. The United's defensive line, specifically May Letizia, has been my surprise of the season.
Anyway, when you guys scored, when you were playing us, I said this, that's done. I didn't think it was finished.
And I felt like that more this year. Last year it was more so, when are we going to concede? What minute are we going to concede a stupid goal? I've just been feeling a lot more confident about them. That's my surprise of the season. But we will wrap up there. Thanks again for the chat, guys. As usual, make sure to follow on socials, on Twitter at GoldDiggersUK and on Instagram at GoldDiggersUK_. Make sure to tune in to the next episode. Thanks.
Don't be surprised if I ask what a bag is.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.